It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
She doesn't like being up here unless we're recording and she can ruin things. Then she wants to be up here. Now, I have had my first banh mi of the day just a few minutes ago, so I've discovered that's like my dark chocolate. I ate the banh mi and it's super tasty. And it makes me feel good. So, I did that. Seriously, I have been eating so much Vietnamese food. And I bought, in addition to that banh mi for lunch, I bought a dish for dinner, and I have another banh mi that will probably be breakfast.
I think this is the first time in several years that I've seen you on your birthday.
That's the thing. Yeah. Well, wait a spoiler. Okay, I was going to say, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world where it's my birthday.
Yes, it is.
And ordinarily, I would not record a podcast on my birthday because that sounds really sad. but it's Hillary Clinton's fault. today is my birthday and a Thursday, but we were going to move it to Wednesday, and I was going to go out with friends to sushi tonight, only Hillary Clinton's in town tonight. And I have the kind of friends that like to see Hillary Clinton. Some, I think, are actual Hillary supporters, and some of my friends this particular election are all up in the, going to see every single candidate, which is freaky to me, but...
Well, to be fair, we were going to record ahead of time, so we wouldn't have to record
on Wednesday. But then, like I
said... No, we were going to... Previous Thursday.
Yeah, then I was sick.
Then you were ill. So that also was
to use the other universe.
Yeah. That also fed into it a little bit.
But then we were going to do it on Wednesday. But then friends are going to see Hillary Clinton tonight,
right.
So I'm going to celebrate tomorrow. Although I took the afternoon off, so we're actually doing this at like 2 in the afternoon. so I will still have my evening free, which means I will play Fallout 4 for hours and hours.
Okay.
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you.
For those of you just joining us...
You didn't say your name.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 254.
Seriously?
And you know, like I said, I think this is the first time in years that I've seen you on your birthday, but I don't think you've ever seen me on my birthday, because back when we worked together, I always took my birthday off.
No, I've seen you on your birthday here. I think we recorded an episode on your birthday.
We have?
Yeah, I think so. I might be making that up. The other thing is you play your birthday very close to the vest, so it's hard enough... I never quite remember. It's February something.
16th.
16th. That should be really easy to me because it's the day after mine and Trish's first date anniversary and engagement anniversary.
Oh.
Is the 15th,
huh?
Because for our first date, we couldn't go out Valentine's night for other reasons. So we ended up going out the night afterwards. And that's worked really well because it's way easier to get reservations.
Yeah, exactly.
The night after. Anyway, for those of you just joining us, this is a podcast. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, and people like to send stuff to that email address, notes, comments, topics, things like that, that the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies into little note cards. With the information written on them that manifests physically within the hat itself. It's Episcopalian servants. Have I used Episcopalian before?
You have, but it's like always a good one.
It's good. Episcopalian servants draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored. That's the whole show. We do that for about an hour.
Yeah.
So that's the show. And we have... It's been 2 weeks because of things. It's my birthday, and in fact, my parents sent a package
Oh, yeah.
My birthday. That I'm going to open on the air here. So let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, where is it?
All right, I'm going to set my microphone down. People are going to hear me further away. Normally, when you think you're hearing me further away, it's just because the mic's cutting out. But this time, I'm actually further away. All right, hold this, please.
Yes, I will hold this.
All right, so here's the thing.
Oh, there it is. Amazon.
It's Amazon, but it's been opened, so who knows what could be.
Oh, so it could be a...
Could be a trick.
Yeah, it could be they got something from Amazon and put it...
Or...
And then put your thing in their box or something.
Or they
like
pooped
that.
In a cardboard box they had around. Like, it's possible.
No.
All right.
There's a card.
And it says, Anthony Kempfer says, remember, you can just keep saying you're 39 for the rest of your life, like lots of people do. Not your parents. That's not a signature saying not your parents. They're saying my parents don't do that. It is weird, though. 39 is the last year at which you can claim youth, I think, at all.
Hmm.
Like, and it's pushing it to do it. But once you hit 40, you can't ever be like, well, I'm young. And no, that's not a thing.
No, it really isn't.
Oh.
It's a cat with a state trooper hat on and some sunglasses. Outside of a car, like he's stopping you for speeding. It's a photograph, even. Do you want me to read the whole thing?
No, just the card part.
Oh. Do you know how fast you were going over that hill? Okay, but 39!
Right?
40 is supposed to be with hill, right? It's a nice
dear
card.
Dear youngest, 40 next year, question mark, can't be possible. We'll have to send bifocals then. Wish we were celebrating with you, but no, we're thinking about you and remembering the miracle second child I never thought I'd get to have. That's a long story. Thanks so much for your thoughtful presence. Oh yeah, we got some really good Christmas presents this year.
Okay.
Red books. Put out pics, and Dad will get camera going soon. Love you, Mo, and your dad. I call my mom Mo. That's another story.
That's a nice card.
It's a very nice card. They're good card people. All right, we got multiple things.
Oh, multiple things.
All right. And unlike Christmas, I don't have to see if they're for me or for Trish.
But this is wrapped with snowmen. Like a little, it's a red wrapping with little snowmen on it.
Shiny.
Yeah.
Get down. Thank you.
That was an Ezzy moment in case people didn't know.
But the first part was excitement over what I have.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like something for your head. Is that what it is?
What an odd thing to say, but I think you're right. I asked for bandanas.
Oh, that's right. You were going to ask
for bandanas. I'm pretty sure this is a straight-up do-rag, like I'm in a gang.
With flames and everything.
Seriously, yeah.
It's black with red flames.
So I can only wear this at work.
Wait a minute, I don't... What?
This package is very similarly built, so I have my suspicions.
Yeah, it's the same wrapping and everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is it another one?
It does appear.
Except a different style.
And a bigger bag for some reason.
Oh, this looks like this might actually be bandanas.
No, I think it's the same.
Oh, same kind of thing?
Yep.
Oh, but this one has some kind of almost psychedelic designs on it.
Tie-dye kind of.
Tie-dye, thing. Yeah, with paisley. Rainbowy.
Right.
Those are kind of cool, though.
They're on my head. All right.
I like those.
This one appears to be an industrial sponge.
This is in kind of a blue wrapper with... That's
and
an interesting...
More cubical, but it's still soft.
Squishy, yeah. It's an interesting wrapping. It doesn't look like a holiday wrapping at all. And these are bandanas.
And these are, I'm not going to open this right now, but these are your standard, what you think of as bandanas. I've got a blue, red, black, and purple.
Nice.
So that is cool.
Little
so
paisley designs on them.
Pretty much as I go bald, I can hide it for a long time, like William's been doing. Is that a new hat? I haven't seen that hat.
I'm not going bald. No, I've had this hat for a long time.
No, but
you just
constantly cover your head, so that's what I like to think. This is kind of a cool box.
I just do that so that hair that I do have doesn't blow around.
This is kind of a cool box.
That is a cool box. It's nice red faux snakeskin.
Oh, this is another cuff. I'll
veneer
bet it's from
box.
The same guy that made the last cuff they gave me for Christmas.
a wrist cuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's nice.
These are the two things leather. I really asked. Well, I asked for three things for Christmas. Wrist cuffs, bandanas, and to give to charity, to specific charities. You all know because you all gave me suggestions after it was too late. But.
Well, that's nice. So is there, what kind of design is on the, it's leather.
This, it's knotwork, Celtic knotwork.
Okay. There's black and brown leather
this
sort of laced together.
It's comfortable than the other one, so that's nice.
It's nice.
Oh, there's more stuff in here. Oh, yeah, I wondered about this. My parents are getting a little old. I'll get back to that. But first, we have these two presents. This one is an oversized baseball card.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. I know, right? Oh, Amazon gift card. All right.
Nice.
Always enjoy that, because I feel like I literally don't buy anything not on Amazon anymore.
Really?
If I have to put my credit card information somewhere else, it's not a security issue. I'm just too damn lazy to go find my wallet. And Amazon has everything, you know? And this is... Oh! This appears to be another head wrap, but it's specifically a workout one that, like, absorbs sweat.
Oh.
So well, that could be...
Yeah, that might be handy.
Well, and I when it's not this week, I work out, so that could be good. All right. And then this is Blue Suckers.
What's that about?
Well, I'll tell you once I get the microphone and everything back. This here, see, Blue Suckers.
Yeah, they're blue.
I think it's Lollipop Shop ones. All right, give it back.
Blueberry and cream.
When I was a child.
Which was a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Blue, in general, was not super common in the world of edibles. I mean, it wasn't unheard of. It wasn't like, you know, like people were trekking their supply caravan out to the wilderness because they had blue stuff and no one had ever heard of it, you know. But there just wasn't a lot of blue stuff.
Okay.
And in particular, lollipops or suckers, as I tended to call them when I was little.
That's true. Not a lot of blue. You're right.
There wasn't much blue.
No.
So, here's where it gets weird, and my parents are old. I would always ask Santa, last thing on my list always, was, and a blue sucker.
Mm.
And so, my parents would help Santa out and get me one, but every year it was a really serious friggin' challenge because they were hard to come by.
Mm.
So they would go all over the place and finally find one.
Mm.
I remember there was a certain year at which they did that, but they found them everywhere, so they just bought them. So, like, that year I got, like, 12 or 16 different blue suckers.
Wow.
And that's the only clarification. They didn't have to, like, taste good. They just had the blue suckers, and so had those. And they've been doing it forever and ever and ever. I noted, absently, that this year they did not include blue suckers in my Christmas package. And I was like, oh, you know, maybe they forgot. Maybe they didn't have time. I'm certainly not going to mention it to them.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, there was, and it was fine. Because, honestly, I often don't eat them because they're a lot of extra sugar and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're made to look really pretty and not tasty.
Yeah.
But there was a little part of me that's like, oh, end of an era. But no, apparently my folks are just senile and they forget which holiday to do it. Because now they've sent them for my birthday. And given the entire story is based on the fact that I asked Santa for blue suckers, I'm going to assume I'm remembering correctly that it was Christmas, and I didn't harass Santa in early January, be like, okay, you were cool for Christmas, but now here's my birthday wishes. No. So they're just confused. Or maybe, you know, they've forgotten just now. I don't know. Here's the thing. My parents don't listen. Tell them, which I plan to, that I opened their presents during this episode, they will probably listen.
Oh, cool.
So they will probably explain it later. But thank you, Mom and Dad. These are good.
Yeah, very good. Well done.
Yeah, nicely done. And these are probably the only presents I opened today because Trish is not here. Trish is still up in the cabin in Wisconsin. So that'll have to wait. And my mother-in-law already told me when she gave me my Christmas present, that was my Christmas and my birthday present.
Oh, okay.
Because it's friggin' PlayStation 4.
Right.
Friggin' Fallout 4.
Right.
So
right.
I'm fine with that. And in fact, I'll be opening that birthday present later tonight just to play Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
But good job, Mom and Dad. And thank you. And I don't understand how this works. We may be due for an upgrade of podcasting equipment soon, I think.
Well, I think you dropped that microphone, and microphones can be very sensitive when you drop them.
Oh, both of these have been dropped a thousand times.
Well, but I don't handle mine, so...
Yeah, but it's falling on the floor plenty.
Okay, well, it might just be that nothing really particularly happened to it. Yours probably just needs some...
Microphone or cable?
Well, that's true. You don't know that. That's right.
So we'll see. And all my dream is to just get headsets so I don't even have to hold it.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. And then we could hear and all that stuff. Anyway... How was your 2 weeks?
It's good. I think since I saw you, we did a games in public or whatever.
Yeah,
with
I think there was one
with
yeah,
Dave. So we did that, and that was fun. I'm having a hard time remembering what the game was called. I think The Last Girl. I think it's called. It's a
okay.
It's a game where you you're. The scenario, it doesn't really matter. That you as players can sort of make it up, but it's supposed to be like a horror movie type
yeah,
of
yeah.
thing. That's why it's called that. Is that
yeah,
some kind of trope?
The Last Girl or The Final Girl.
Maybe that's what it's called, The Final Girl.
Is a common phrase because that always seems to be the case.
Yeah.
One girl lives. Sometimes it's one girl and one guy, but it's always one girl.
Okay. Well, that's what the game was called, and so you make up these characters, and... the characters kind of go into a pot, and there are rounds, and you play a character, you pick a character to play.
You're kind of on my shit list, so I don't know why you keep coming up here.
You pick a character to play each round, so you're not going to play the same character the whole time, and you might not play a character that you created, because I think you create three of them and everyone else. And the character creation is very basic. It's like one sentence, the mouthy engineer,
yeah,
you know, what's her name and her name or his name, whatever it is. So it's very simple, and then the character sort of evolves as the story is told by three or four different people, providing that character even gets picked. But anyway, so you use playing cards in the game. That's sort of the game mechanic, is you use playing cards. Each round, one person plays the monster, whatever that is.
Okay.
And that person uses their cards against the hands of other people's cards to find out who's going to die, basically. I've explained it very poorly, but I'm sure you get the idea.
It's an interesting narrative group-created slasher movie.
Yeah, it was fun. It didn't really give you a chance to play a character, you know?
No. You're creating a narrative, not a character.
But that's really fun. That was really fun. I think my wife and I are going to help Dave playtest a game that he's got that he's setting in kind of the TV show Penny Dreadful.
Yeah.
Almost kind of in that context.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be doing that on the 30th of this month.
Dave, it is also undertaking a new business that he and I have been discussing a little bit. I don't want to say too much because I don't know how he feels about it yet, but it's a very interesting concept of a business that I think will be cool, and I will probably be a customer. I don't know anything else beyond that. But
Other than that, we've not been doing a whole lot, playing Fallout still a little bit, but we've also been watching Teen Titans, the animated TV show.
Teen Titans Go!
No, the animated Teen Titans Go is based basically on this Teen Titans. It was
So you're watching the original cartoon
between 2003 and 2007.
Yeah. Okay, you kept sending me stuff from Teen Titans Go.
Yes,
so
because
I assumed you were watching
because
that.
Because here's the thing: I'm not a fan of teen anything, as everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even when I was a teen a fan
mm-hmm.
of teen things.
But, testify.
My wife is a gamer, and she's a fan of a lot of different comic book things, but she didn't really know anything about Raven. And I knew about Raven from various
Raven.
Things. And Raven was first introduced in the comic books in Teen Titans, I think in the 80s. She was created for that run of Teen Titans, which was the main run of Teen Titans. The previous Teen Titans was somewhere in like the late 60s, and it was just sidekicks of known heroes. That was not that successful, but then in the 80s, they created characters special for Teen Titans. They created Starfire, and they created Raven and Cyborg. Beast Boy was an older character. He was in Doom Patrol, I guess, before.
Okay.
But Robin and Beast Boy, and they put all those together in the 80s, and it was a very successful, the first really successful Teen Titans. And then in the early 2000s, they made that cartoon about it. So I thought, well, maybe I'll get the discs for this and see if my wife likes it. It wasn't what we thought. It's sillier. The original Teen Titans cartoon show is a little bit sillier than I expected.
Did you watch the whole thing?
We've got one disc left in the run.
Because to me, it got very serious and dark as it.
Yeah, but it's
on.
They're still funny and jokey, and it's got a lot of anime conventions in it.
Yes, it absolutely does. It is very much one of those American shows trying to look like it's a Japanese show.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, not only did my wife totally fall in love with the character of Raven, as I expected she would, but she thinks this show is great. Mm. Including kind of the silly, funny parts. And I've enjoyed watching it with her. But the funny thing about it is I was exposed to the new Teen Titans Go show in pieces before I ever saw this. And I heard, they got all the same voice actors to do Teen Titans Go.
Yes, they're just like, this needs to be less serious.
Yeah, so I've seen these clips from Teen Titans Go, and I've heard people not like them because it's so silly, and it's like, okay, I can understand people maybe don't like their beloved characters and this really silly take on it. But now I'm watching the original show, and I'm thinking, I cannot believe you people don't like Teen Titans Go. I realize it's sillier, but it's
sillier. Yeah, it's not. You're right. That's it. It wasn't as much of a departure as you might think, because it took me a while to figure out they were two different shows.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny. I mean, now I look at the Teen Titans Go stuff, and I think it's hilarious.
Well, it's very self-aware. It's very self-aware.
And I get when someone changes something you like, with the same voice actors and same everything, but it's so much riffing on the silly part of the original show, I would think there would be a little bit of a nostalgia factor there, and you'd like it.
I think
we kind of think it's funny.
Thing that sticks in my craw over both shows, and why I would say that both shows are okay but not great, the more I think about it, it largely comes down to I fucking hate Beast Boy.
You do?
I fucking hate Beast Boy as a superhero, and I fucking hate Beast Boy as a person. He's the most annoying kid I went to school with. He's straight up that annoying kid. Like, it's kind of a joke that he has friends, because I'm like, I knew that kid in school. That kid had no friends. That kid painted his black jacket with white out to pretend he had a White Sox jacket to try and fit in. That kid was constantly... We were always not sure if he had a disability or was just really antisocial. And that kid somewhere around, like, 10th grade disappeared and you never heard from him again. I feel like everybody had this kid. We had this one of these kids and he went away, and then we got another one.
Then we got another one.
You feel like he doesn't wash a lot. Beast Boy is that kid, and that kid doesn't have friends, which is sad for that kid, but I'm like, I also was not that kid's friend.
Well...
Also, again, the voice actor's a nut.
Again,
he lives in a tent on Roseanne's nut farm.
Again.
So he's literally a nut, now that I think about it.
My wife loved it, and I even enjoyed it, even though I don't normally enjoy that kind of thing.
One episode, he says, because Beast Boy's a vegetarian, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And there was a time, I remember, where he was trying to wake people up, and he says, wakey, wakey, tofu, eggs, and bakey.
Yeah.
And I always say that now. Because of fucking Beast Boy.
No, but...
Did you notice all the extra bird feeders outside?
Yes, I did.
Do you know why they're there?
So that squirrels can eat the food? Because that was what was happening
when
I drove up to squirrels.
That's not what's supposed to be happening. No, it is... Trish calls it Kitty Hulu Plus.
Oh,
because the cats like to look, and she's like, I'm going to get more, and they're going to have more stuff to look at. And it works pretty good. We got chickadees, we got woodpeckers, we got... cardinals.
Probably. They're bigger.
We do have starlings. We have... Is it grackles? I don't remember. We have something that's... No, we have junks. or something. I don't know. We got.
We might have grackles. We get those around here and finches. I know woodpeckers. Goldfinches, maybe.
No, we not yet. It's only been a while, but.
Another thing
not liking it.
Another thing we're watching is Clone Wars because.
I thought you already watched Clone Wars.
I'd never seen Clone Wars. I just knew that it was, you know, they basically, Star Wars, since Force Awakens came out, as most people probably know by now, the canon, so to speak, of the Star Wars universe now only includes the movies, Clone Wars.
By Clone Wars, you mean the later series. You don't mean the original Genndy Tartakovsky.
No.
Thing, because I fucking loved those.
Later series. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well, originally, the Clone Wars was a series of 5-minute episodes that were made by the same guy who did Powerpuff Girls and Samurai Jack.
Oh.
And they were awesome.
No, I don't think I saw those.
And now it's an actual show that's like half hour long.
Well, there's a film and a 25-minute episode.
Yeah, the original Clone Wars was a different animation style, and they were very short, and they were broader. Some of them focused on a lot of different characters and stuff. Like there was an entire one that was just... Well, you'd have this occasionally, like a Jedi going to a planet and basically solving the problems. And in a lot of cases, there was zero dialogue.
Okay.
And I liked that quite a bit. I haven't really gotten into the new one. I still have trouble with this idea of... The hero in it is freaking Anakin. And I'm like, that's weird to me.
Well.
Because he looks like just a Saturday morning cartoon hero, and he's got a plucky sidekick and shit. And I'm like, you know, he just turns into the Dark Lord and kills a bunch of children. Like soon. Like, not long from now.
There are a lot of characters in it. I mean, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi obviously features very heavily that sidekick.
Somebody who's doing a really good Ewan McGregor impression.
Yeah, the sidekick you're talking about.
Shanti. Lakshmi.
I can never remember her first name. It's...
Supernos
Miseris Gordia. Ahsoka, that's what it is.
Ahsoka, okay.
Ahsoka Tano. It's a female character. It's a very... well-rounded sort of...
I've caught bits and pieces, and it seems like the two of them and their dynamic is a huge part of the show.
Yeah, and it's a good, strong female character. And actually, the representation for females in the show is actually quite good.
You think he'll chop her head off when he goes bad?
I happen to know what happens to her, and it's nothing bad happens to her at all, really.
Ever?
No. As it turns out, and I haven't told my wife this because I don't
know. She
want to
went off
for
to
it.
Have a successful career on Broadway.
She leaves the Jedi.
Spoiler alert for Clone Wars.
She leaves the Jedi Order. Well, if anyone's seen Rebels, they already know this. She leaves the Jedi Order before Order 66 is instituted.
That's handy.
Yeah. So she
coincidence?
She actually
absolutely.
She actually shows up in Rebels. But Clone Wars is in canon, Rebels is in canon, and a couple novels that were released in 2014 and 2015 as a run-up to Force Awakens.
I still think technically the holiday special has to count. That has not been thrown out of canon.
So we decided we'd watch Rebels and Clone Wars, you know, just to see if there's anything interesting in it that they might use in the movies. And we've seen lots of stuff that we think they might
You've
use.
Told me about some of them off the air that we won't talk about here because they're
spoilers.
Super spoilerific.
For the film.
And will be a very big deal if it happens.
But it's not bad. We really enjoyed Clone Wars. It explores a lot of interesting topics, like, you know, things about the clones and things about they run into pacifists once in a while in the show, and then how that, you know, the Jedi are supposed to be these good guys, and yet they run into pacifists and they're encouraging them to join the war.
Yeah.
You know, so it's some pretty complicated stuff that they're dealing with in there.
I spend a lot of time these days trying to find a Star Wars substitute. I feel like, I mean, Star Wars has so much wrong with it.
Yeah, it
and,
does,
and
actually.
Not the least of which is its popularity.
Yeah.
It has gotten so overblown that people get really divisive about it and stuff like that. And all that shit annoys me.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
So I don't like Star Wars a lot. I only kind of like Star Wars. But there's a lot of good things in Star Wars, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm acculturated to out of Star Wars. There's a lot of stuff that I put in my sci-fi and my space opera because... So what I try and do is find alternate science fictions that are very Star Wars-like, are not Star Wars.
But like Mass Effect
I'm looking
is like
for
that,
the
isn't
Google Plus to Star Wars' Facebook.
But Mass Effect is kind of like that, isn't it?
Mass Effect was a great example. I loved Mass Effect, and there's a lot of shit in that was very Star Wars-like, but it avoided a lot of the shit that pisses me off about Star Wars. And, oh my God, I will kill you. Straight up just walked across the laptop, pushed things. I don't even know what she stepped on. We appear to still be recording. But seriously, I will make you an Ezzy-shaped smear on the wall if you don't get down. They're still recovering from us being gone for 4 days. They need a lot of love. Especially in the morning, she comes and just like lays. At night, they both are just like on my body all night long. They cannot sleep without me right now.
You know, I was also surprised with Teen Titans how many heavy, like you were saying, really heavy themes sometimes they dealt with.
Raven's plotline gets fucked up.
Yeah. There's the one episode with her is, it's so clearly a metaphor for abuse and all this stuff. It's like, wow. Wow, that was so powerful.
I remember watching that and being like, I feel like I shouldn't be watching this. It also made me way more interested about the bad guy, that bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
I looked him up. He's not that interesting. The guy he's sort of based off of from comics is more interesting.
Yeah.
But they always, I hate when they do that. They're like, oh, so much mystery and so much back. No, the backstory is nothing. So, he was an asshole and that was it. Seriously, get away.
But anyway, watching those shows and doing, you know, just working and role-playing games, that was it. And I know we've taken up a whole bunch of time.
Have our.
You probably have a lot to talk about with your 2 weeks.
Went to Wisconsin.
Yes, you did.
Saw Kyle Kinane in an actual comedy club.
I don't know who that is.
Kyle Kinane is a stand-up that we really like right now.
Oh.
He's also the voice of Comedy Central, so when you hear a disembodied voice tell you like what's coming up next and stuff, that's him. He's on At Midnight a lot. I feel like in a lot of ways, if I was a stand-up and was a successful, like could actually do it, had the talent and the energy and all that, my stand-up would probably most closely resemble his.
Really?
Both in terms of sort of his perspective and in terms of his style of comedy. I feel it's a lot of... He does the rambling story kind of thing a lot, which is totally my jam.
Mm-hmm.
And we both like him a lot, and so we were very excited to see him live. But it was my first experience really being in a comedy club. Like, we stood in line. There was a 2-drink minimum. Like, all the whole shebang. And I think it was pretty cool. We also saw the feature guy was Drew Michaels, and he's pretty funny. Although, we were a little worried. So we looked him up later, like YouTube, because that's now your best way to find out if you like a comedian. Go to YouTube, find some of their stuff, you'll see.
Sure.
And we only found 2 things for him. Basically, stuff that was pretty much the act we had just seen, which, you know, whatever. And the other stuff we found was from 2012. And, okay, I'm going to explain the bit, because it's a solid bit.
Okay.
Now, be prepared. You're going to think it's not, but just, you got to hear this out.
Okay.
The bit is, why is bestiality illegal?
Okay.
And the bit is because the only explanation people ever give is it's just disgusting.
Well,
and which obviously, you know, before a bit, that is the thing people say first.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's a lot of things that are disgusting that are still legal. See, it's a solid bit. The problem is the example that he uses and goes on at length is fat, unattractive people and having sex with them.
Oh, as the other thing
he's like,
disgusting.
That's really gross, but it's not illegal. And he goes on at length about these just ugly, fat people. And I'm like, it's 2012 when you did this. That is, forget offensive, that's hack as shit.
That is
a hacky joke there.
Right.
And so I was really disappointed out of that. But his current stuff is hilarious. Including, honestly, a really long pro roofie bit, which sounds horrible, but his whole point is that it's a very useful drug not associated with rape. The whole thing involved him getting into a drunken fight with his girlfriend. He's like, I just wanted to slip her roofie. Not to have sex, but I could just take her home, put her to bed, and then in the morning when she's sober, we can talk it out. And so he's talking about it. I was like, wouldn't it be handy? He's like, you know when your modem goes out and like the lights aren't blinking anymore? You unplug it for about 60 seconds and you plug it back in. And then it's working. It's the same kind of deal. And he's like, roofie's not a rape drug. You just are using them. Like, you're just a rapist. Roofies are just a drug. It's like, you're just a rapist. And by the way, you're a prop rapist because you need the drug. So you're the worst kind of the worst kind of thing. You're the carrot top of rapists.
Carrot top. Okay, but slipping anyone a drug is bad for other kinds of reasons.
Again, for a bit. I don't think he actually wants to get his girlfriend to do it. Yeah, when you have to be the voice of reason in a comedy bit, you're not getting the bit. And he actually had a really good bit, too, about depression, and 'cause he suffers from it. And he's like, you know, when you're not depressed, you know, something happens, a normal person, something happens, and they're sad for a while. Mm. When you're depressed, you see the world as it really is.
As it really is.
And he does this whole bit, he's like, those commercials about, do you feel sad? Take this pill. No. The people who don't feel that way, should have a pill for them. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Are you happy and positive all the time? What the hell? Have you seen the world? And he goes on it like, your phone is made by slaves. And the environment. Oh, and he goes on and on. He's like, and the only way to get out of it is to take a gun and just put it to your head and just splatter your brains all over the wall. It's a weird commercial, I know. I'm still working out the writing for it. But you get the idea. You know, we were just dying. Both of them had a lot of those things that, like, I'm laughing and feeling uncomfortable at the same time because it hits things that are mine. And I like that because that's the point. Like, it's I'm laughing and it is literally making me take stock.
Sure, sure, sure. That's a real good quality comedy that can do that.
I mean, and it was silly. Kyle had a very silly bit just basically about, you know, gun control people. Like, how much of that is based on who the victims are? Like, what if you hear, like, you know, oh, there was another mass shooting. Like, oh, damn it. Yep, guy just opened fire in the Westboro Baptist Church. I was like, what kind of gun did he use this one? Oh, no, I've never said we should ban that gun. I should never, you know, or who's like, he's like, who needs an extended mag? What? You never need 40 bullets in a clip. This guy shot exactly 40 KKK members. If he'd had to reload, he might have missed a few. I laughed, and at the same time, I'm like, because I'm very pro-gun control.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, obviously on its surface, I'm like, you know, don't mass shoot anybody. But I'm like, but there is a little voice in my head that's like, if I found out about a mass shooting at Westboro, about there, it's like when Jerry Falwell died. I'm like, I'm not celebrating his death, but whew, you know, like that's a thing. And I realize that becomes a very sort of situational morality kind of thing, of which I'm guilty. So, like, I do like those where I'm like, I'm laughing and I don't know if I should. And it's, you know, I actually enjoy those because it lets me look at it.
Yeah,
and because they're frequently really clever.
Yes, yes.
Because nobody's pointed it out before.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
So that was a fun time. We stayed in a really nice hotel there. Walked around Madison. I had never been to Madison. I want to go back when it's not butt cold. And then we went to this weird ass cabin in the middle of nowhere. It's really in the middle of nowhere. I'm gonna put it this way: the closest town is a town called Potosi. I believe its population is 388. I say the closest town because it's not in Potosi. It is on a dirt road, off of a gravel road, off of a county road. So it's in a place that barely qualifies as still existing. And it's these houses out here, and they're not near each other. Like, there's a variety of houses you drive by, but like they're all far enough apart that like you can't see one from another.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like nice, just like people with a lot of money who have just built these things. And this one was a cabin, but it was very weird built. It looked like an IKEA showroom that just got lost in the Wisconsin wilderness, kind of. Because it had a lot of modern features. I mean, it had a freaking Chromecast on the TV. It had really nice kitchen appliances. But it's still just this cabin out there. And it had no central heating.
Hmm.
It's heated by three methods. One, it had concrete heated floors,
mm-hmm.
Which is always a nice thing to have. Two, and the main one, it had a wood-burning stove in it. But three, it was built in such a way that it's kind of at an angle where the southern-facing wall is the highest wall, and it's just solid windows.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a ton of passive solar.
Sure.
And it took us a day or two to figure out not to restart the fire in the morning, because it gets too damn hot.
Yeah.
Wait till the evening for that.
Yeah.
But so we hung out there. It was very relaxing, not too much to do, and that was kind of okay and nice. Saw a movie that you would be interested in, because you've seen this movie, and I know I've seen this movie.
Oh.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, yeah.
Trish just put it on. It's on HBO Go right now, apparently.
Oh.
We've talked about this before. It's a Flight of the Conchords guy making a mockumentary about vampires in the present day in New Zealand. I was surprised. I had misunderstood, I think, when you talked about it. I thought it was I knew it was a mockumentary. I thought it was of, like, real-life vampire, like, people who are just into vampirism and that kind of stuff. No, it's a mockumentary of modern-day fly-around, turn-into-bat
supernatural vampires. Yes.
And shocked for me, freaking Rhys Darby as the alpha male werewolf. He's a comedian I know exclusively from At Midnight, and I have mixed feelings about, but it was very weird to see him there.
Werewolves.
Not werewolves. Werewolves were not werewolves.
I loved that. I loved it.
I came to a realization, an epiphany with this.
Okay.
I don't know if it's Flight of the Conchords or if it's just Jermaine what's-his-name.
Yeah.
Something doesn't click with me, because whenever I see their stuff / his stuff,
mm-hmm.
I know it's decent. I laugh. I like it. I find it funny. I don't love it. I don't take it to my heart, as it were. There's always something that simultaneously sort of puts me off about it.
Okay.
And I don't know what it is, but I had the same thing here. Like, this was good. I recommend it. It was very clever. It was very well put together. I didn't love it for no reason exactly. I don't know what I'm trying to figure out, if there's a, like, this is a particular cultural type of comedy associated with New Zealand, and maybe it's an equivalent to something here that I'm not.
Hmm.
Like, I wondered for a little while if their comedy was sort of the New Zealand version of, like, redneck comedy here. Oh. And maybe that would be a thing. Because I can watch Bill Ingvall, Ron White, or whatever, and I laugh, and it's funny, but I'm like, that's not, I don't seek it out.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of a similar vibe, but I don't know what it is. It was very clever. They did a lot. They did a ton with it. Like, because that's the thing. You think of it, it's like, it's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, how do you make that into a full movie? No, they do all sorts of different versions. And is Peter coming up? Peter is 8,000 years old. He's not coming upstairs. I love you, a chicken. And of course they're like, they're the shittiest vampires, and you're like, are there better ones? Or is this really what it's like? And then the Beast, and you know, and that whole thing. And, yeah, no, it was very clever, and I do recommend it. I love mockumentaries. I mean, I'll go on all the way back to freaking Fear of a Black Hat.
Spinal Tap.
Yeah, I still haven't seen Spinal Tap, and I regret that.
You've never seen this as Spinal Tap?
I have not. It's on the list of things.
I can't predict if you'll like it, but I think you will, because it's pretty good.
At the time, I much more did Fear of Black Hat, which is the faux NWA documentary. Because there was a group called NWH. With, instead of Attitude, it was Hats. So N-Word with Hats was their group. And that was pretty funny at the time, too. But, I mean, and all the Christopher Guest ones, of course. Loved those. So that was pretty fun.
Let's see. Best in Show, I think, was one he did in...
Best in Show, he did Waiting for Guffman.
Waiting for which Guffman. Is amazing. Very good, very good.
Best in Show is sort of the famous one.
Is it?
I feel like that's the one a lot of people know.
Huh.
Waiting for Guffman. What were some of the other mockumentaries? I know some of his other films that weren't mockumentaries.
Seems like there was a third one.
I think so, because there was... I don't know what it was. It was another movie like that, but it was scripted and not done in mockumentary style, that was about these people making a movie called Home for Purim. And then
Oscar buzzed about it. That one
was not the same kind of... It was a lot of the same people, but it was not the same style, and it was all scripted.
And you saw that one. I didn't see
it. I did see that one, and it was fine. It was good. It's funny. You should see it. It's not as good as the other ones.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think there's a third one of the earlier stuff. There's Waiting for Guffman. There's Best in Show.
I just don't remember.
Damn it. Oh, Mighty Wind.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it. Mighty Wind. That's what I keep doing.
Mighty Wind. That was a good one.
I keep picturing Christopher Guest in different roles. Yeah, and I'm like, what is it? I'm like, he's playing in a musical group in one.
Yep. Mighty Wind
was also awesome.
That was a very good one.
Possibly the best role I've ever seen Eugene Levy in. Which is not saying much. I'm not a huge Eugene Levy. He's talented, but most of the stuff he does is just such
shit. Yeah.
But he was amazing in that, and it was a different thing for him. It was a stretch for him. I like that. So yeah, did that. Been eating a ton of Vietnamese food. I'm getting to know them. I now know their names. They know my name. I've met one of their kids. Like, getting in good with them.
You know, that reminds me. One of the interesting things about the Clone Wars is, you know, when you're watching a movie or you're watching something that involves war.
Yes.
And things come up.
Changes.
Things come up and you go, oh, that's, you know, they're getting that from World War II. Sometimes World War I.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes some other historical thing, you know, Rome or something, if you happen to know anything about that. I'm noticing in Clone Wars, which I've never seen before, they seem to be borrowing a lot of stuff from the Vietnam War. And I've never seen anyone do that before.
I'm surprised you can make the distinction, because as we've established, war...
never changes.
War never changes. By the way, did Ron Perlman piss somebody off? He didn't get to do the opening narration in this one.
I haven't heard of it.
It's partially because the person doing the narration in this case was an actual character. Mm-hmm. But it's still weird.
Are you still working on your right conspiracy for that?
Yes. I still have to put that together. I totally thought you were just screwing around with me.
No, that's...
I thought that was your way of hinting that your wife had stuck with that person.
No.
Then you're like, you start talking about it, I'm like, that's actually your name. I'm totally in love with Piper, who's a character I've discovered, whose last name is apparently Wright.
Mm-hmm. Piper Wright.
Yeah, I feel like she's younger than my character, but I feel like they've got a thing going. I feel like they complement each other well.
And she's not the first Wright in Fallout, as I pointed out. There's also a Wright in the second Dragon Age game. He's a captain in Kirkwall.
They have last names in the second Dragon Age game?
Captain Wright. He's not a very nice guy, and he's not in there very much. But
I played that game.
There's the only Wrights in video games I know of are Captain Wright in the second Dragon Age. The Wrights in Fallout 2, I've never played Fallout 2, but I happen to know about those Wrights. And Piper Wright in Fallout 4.
And Wilbur and Orville in the first Flight Simulator game.
That's a good one.
Flight Simulator 1918, maybe. No, because World War One had planes, didn't they? No, they didn't have.
Yes, they did, but you know, biplanes and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think in World War One that I mean people talk about like the Red Baron, that's his era, talk about dogfights and stuff, and there were those in World War One, but if you look at World War One as a whole, I think the air aspect was especially compared to World War Two was
later,
was pretty mild.
you probably have never watched the Blackadder comedies.
I've heard about it.
Yeah, I don't know that it'd be your style. There's a lot of vulgar stuff, but they get creative, and it's a recurring thing. Every series is a different era, and the same actors are there playing characters often with the same names, but they're in different situations. Mm-hmm. So, like, the very first one is a medieval one, and he's a prince, and he has his lackeys and stuff like that. And the second one is Elizabethan, and Queen Elizabeth is there, and he's a courtier in her court. Mm-hmm. And then the third one, he's the butler to Prince George the Third, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's always the same people, but and sort of everybody has similar personalities. And then the fourth one, the last series they did, is set in World War One, and he's a captain, and they're in the trenches, mm-hmm. and the episodes mostly deal with him trying to get out of the army because it's dangerous. But the very last episode is actually kind of freaky because it ends with them doing a big push over the wall and basically them all dying,
mm.
and it ends very, because see that stuff, World War One has a much bigger place in the hearts of the UK, I think, than for us because of that kind of stuff. But what's funny is just before they do it, they're all there. Like, they've all tried to get out of it anyways, and they're all there waiting for the sign, and it goes quiet, and they're like, what happened? And they're like, maybe it's the end. Maybe peace was declared. And the classic sad sack idiot of the group is like, we did it! We survived the Great War! 1914 to 1916. And we're all like, no. And he explains, he's like, no, they just stopped shelling because even the British military is not dumb enough to shell their own men. but when you were talking about the thing, I was like, yeah, the Great War, 1914 to 1916.
I heard a little bit of information about the Wonder Woman movie that's going to be in 2017.
We saw a little bit of information about
Well, Wonder right, Woman but movie. But that information didn't... I heard something else, and maybe I don't know if I should talk about it because it's kind of a spoiler, maybe.
Then I don't think you should.
Okay, never mind then.
I finally saw the first full-length official trailer for Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit, it looks less shitty than it did. I still feel like, on principle, I'm probably not going to see it.
Oh, I'll see it, but I don't think it's...
I'm no, because you're going to... I think you'll see all the DC
I
ones.
I will. I'll see them. Which, I'll probably hate them all, but I'll see them.
Yeah, dude. Way to make me feel better about the MCU. I'm like, when I walk out of Ant-Man going, damn it, I can be like, hey, at least I didn't go fucking see Suicide Squad.
I thought Ant-Man was okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But, I mean, I totally... If I wasn't on this Marvel Cinematic Universe thing, I could have totally skipped it and never given a damn.
Right.
Seriously, go someplace. I'm not usually home now. Pretend like I'm still not. we got to get to a question or we won't have any.
So,
yeah.
Pulling a question from the hat. We tell people that's the show and we don't do it until almost the very end.
That's probably why our evil compatriots are more popular, because that's mostly what they do.
Fallout 4, played it yet?
Super serious. This always cracks me up. okay, so sometimes...
The answer is yes.
Yes, we have. Yes. And in fact, I recommend you go back and listen to any of the last, like, 10 episodes we discussed it at length.
We even already talked about it today.
But this is a thing that I love, so... sometimes people inquire about media,
mm-hmm.
and that's entirely understandable.
Mm-hmm.
We consume a lot of it. I consume a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense. And we talk about it. But I'm always amazed when it's something current that is totally the kind of thing we would do. Like people asking if we saw, you know, the latest Marvel movie. It's like, first of all, you know we're going to. Second of all, you know it's enough in our wheelhouse that we're going to talk about it. Or if for some reason we don't, we're going to talk about why we don't. And third of all, you know we draw them out at random. So, we have had times where you've literally told me about your week and something you did, and we pulled out a thing that asked about it. Well, and it's happened here, too. I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying I'm going to make fun of you when you do. Like to say, did you ever play this obscure... Like, or like to send in a question and say, Apparently, Dark Cloud 1 and Dark Cloud 2 are currently on PlayStation Network, and you can download them. And I loved those games. Like, that's a thing. Say, like, did you ever play those? You should. They're available. But to say, like, the big nerdy video game that everyone is fucking playing.
Well, we've been talking about it for a while, so someone must have sent this in some time ago.
Or they're real drunk. So, yes, we are. Or I, yeah.
But we don't talk about some of these things.
Have you hit 400 yet?
No, because the last time I told you we were at 317
was the classic number.
And I think we've logged probably 10 hours since then, maybe.
Oh, not much then. Are you playing other things? Or
we're watching those shows. Oh, we're like binge watching Clones and Teen Titans. So, yeah, not watching. Not playing the game that much.
I want to talk about this. I want to talk to you for a second.
That's like 9 months in game, by the way.
Yeah, and you talked about that seems like too short a time for a romance, and I thought about it, and I'm like, a lot of games like this, it's like 4 days, so 9 months is way better than most video game romances.
Under the circumstances is what I'm saying.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah,
if
this were a regular Fallout game, I wouldn't even think about it, but the way this story is set up, it seems way too fast.
Well, and it's hilarious because you've talked about without spoiling things, about the impetus for the game and how role-playing doesn't work because you would move too fast and you would die and things like that.
Right, right.
Which is true, absolutely true. More people I have talked to have been like, I find myself role-playing in this one more than the others. The way they put it together is really conducive to role-playing, except for that one thing.
Yes.
I am role-playing the shit out of my character, except for that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that one thing is really big. It's just ridiculous.
Yep.
You know what? Here we go. I'm going to spoil the first 10 minutes of Fallout 4.
That's fair.
Be prepared.
That's
fair. In very general sense. The central conceit of the game, well, I'll even skip some of the spoilery things because we don't need them, but the central conceit involves you have a baby and your baby was kidnapped shortly before you were able to do anything about it.
Mm.
And now you got to go get your baby.
Mm.
Which means going to help out this settlement, going to clear the roaches out of the water system, all of that shit is really silly.
Yeah.
If it's like, no, I gotta go get my baby. Because you know what? You're gonna go get your goddamn baby.
Yeah, that's what you're gonna
do. But that's like the central plot of the game, which means you can't just push through it or you would die too soon.
Yeah,
it would make the game way less interesting.
Yep, yep.
So I'm not doing that. I've been doing a whole lot of shit and I've only marginally even headed towards finding my baby. But that being said, everything else I'm doing, I have a character in my head and I'm playing it out.
Right.
And it's very conducive to that, so it's a weird sort of.
No, that's true. You're absolutely right. Other than that little piece, it's very conducive to role playing.
More than the others.
Yes, more than the others, but you kind of have to ignore this, the main thing.
Which is huge.
Yeah, it's
which
really
is huge.
Really huge.
Especially the character I've designed that I play. Super maternal character.
Yeah, yeah.
So it makes it even weirder.
Yeah. But if you can manage to set it aside, the role-playing aspects of the game are just vast, and there's a lot of things you can do with it. But that particular piece, which is the most significant thing that happens right at the beginning of the game, it's the whole impetus of your character. You just kind of have to, set it aside and ignore it, and that feels weird.
Cracks me up, though. So there's the companions in the game, which is not a new thing, and different things you do please or displease them or whatever, and that can affect things. And what cracks me up, though, is one of the companion options is your old household robot, Codsworth.
That's right.
And he used to run my house. He's a robot.
Yeah.
And these are two things to know. What seems to please him a lot is when I build shit.
Yeah.
He just really likes that.
Yeah, he likes that.
And I've never used him as a companion. And I'm not building shit for his benefit. So it always cracks me up. I, like, repair some power armor. He's like, Codsworth really liked that. Because he's in the same town. We're not even hanging out together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, why the fuck do I care what this robot thinks of me building? Like, really? I almost feel like you should save the pixels to not tell me. Because I don't care.
Well, except...
You know what? If he hates me, I'll reprogram him.
You do get a perk if you max out, you know, your approval. You get a
with
perk.
A given person or with anybody?
With each companion.
Oh, they get a perk, basically, don't they?
No, like, you get one.
I thought they got bonuses.
No, you get one.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah.
I'll keep building shit, then.
Yeah.
Entirely to please Cosplay. Not because it's interesting or useful.
My wife took him along on stuff. He was very helpful, but then she immediately replaced him when she met Piper.
Yeah.
And then she had Piper for a long time, maxed out relationship with her, and then got picked up Kate.
I haven't met Kate.
And then Curie. And that's it. She's
I only just recently found out, apparently this time I get to actually equip stuff for my character, for my companions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was never true before.
Oh,
you would give them shit, and it would be... a fun game to hand them shit and see if they bothered to equip it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's what I was assuming, which sucked because Piper didn't want anything except her goddamn cap. And then I just recently found out, oh, I'm supposed to be equipped. I'm like, god damn it, that would have been good to know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Along the many things in this game. That is the only problem really with Fallout 4 is none of the systems are explained.
No.
And it's not like they're the same as in the previous
one. That's right.
So they don't even have that excuse.
That's right. So
I've had to look shit up already.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about equipping your companions, you never did that before.
Well, and
so how come
in
nobody
the settlements villagers, you can give them weapons,
yeah,
but your companions will use up ammo. The villagers need one piece of ammo and then they can shoot forever.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I found that out from my friend Ben. So like, you have, if you give them no ammo, they can't use the weapon, but if you give them one bullet, that'll last them forever.
I did not know
they
that.
Don't use up ammo, but they need a little bit. Like, and I didn't even know you could give them stuff. Like, oh my god. Yes. Anyway, we're over time.
Okay.
So, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and talk to us there. Ask us questions. Read Mark's comments and Jazz's.
Yeah.
Mark's are earlier, but you can find them. And they're long enough, they'll kill time till the next episode. See Jazz and William talk the intricacies of pretty much any.
Yeah, whatever it is we happen to be talking about.
Also, like us on Facebook, because it gives me an intangible sense of self. And tune in next week.
Okay, now go home. I want to play Fallout 4.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.